Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
And welcome. We're so thankful to have you here. Our numbers are toll-free at 1-866-405-8405. If you have a question about your cat, your dog, your flamingo, your parrot, whatever animal, whether it's a grooming question or a vet question, we have Dr. Debbie here as well as Joey Villani. And coming up on the show today...
I was wondering about
it,
that.
Spit it out.
The guy who makes the Cat of Thrones toilet seat for cats is going to be back on the show with us today.
What is he doing this time?
You know, he's invented a no-chemical flea collar. And a lot of us, you know, we hate putting those harsh chemicals on our animals.
Pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. Here, we're passing it around the studio. It seems to be some kind of wood. What kind of wood is that?
It's some kind of cedar. It's beautiful.
It smells good.
Yeah. I can smell it from here. Yeah. I know, huh?
Apparently, we like it, but fleas and bugs don't like it. So he'll be on the show with us in just a few minutes. I think we'll have giveaways there. So be listening if you're fighting the fleas. What are you working on over there in the newsroom, Miss Brooks?
That's really nice. I have a new list out that we're going to share with you about the dogs most likely to run away.
Really?
certain breeds will run away more than others?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, not a whole lot more, but there is a couple of breeds that are more than twice as likely to run away than other breeds. And when you're talking about running away, that's pretty stressful. So we want you to know about it.
Yeah, wow, this is interesting. I didn't realize there was a breed that was predisposed to this kind of behavior, but we'll find out more with Lori Brooks right around the corner.
So they put the knapsack over their shoulder, you know, with the little, with the stick.
Did you ever run away from home, Joey?
Yeah, I did. I think I got 2 blocks and it was raining out. I still remembered it was raining out. And I decided, well, maybe this isn't a good idea. So I went home and I hid. I hid to make them think that I ran away, but they found me.
All they did is follow the wet footprints to the closet.
Yeah.
Well, Thanksgiving is just around the corner for all of us, and we're all very thankful to have our animals with us. Robert Semro is going to celebrate with 5 things in the pet world that he is thankful for. Yeah, I'm thinking of all the things that I'm thankful for with my pets.
There's lots.
They've changed my life. And we're also going to be talking to a lady who, her dog, her little 3-pound dog, changed her life.
It's amazing what these animals can do for us.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go to the phones for your calls first. Toll free 1-866-405-8405. Oh, hi. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing quite well.
Hello.
Quite the gynecological day around here.
Really? What's going on?
Well, we may have talked about this before, about vaginal surgery or episioplasty, kind of having plastic surgery for your female dog's girl parts.
Yeah. What was the purpose of that, really?
Well, it's not something aesthetic to make them look better or more attractive to the males out there. It's a health thing.
It is. Okay.
Yeah. So for female dogs that have prone to vaginal infections and bladder infections or even bladder stones, kind of doing a tuck back there can really be life-saving, and it can improve infections in some females almost 80% of the time.
A vaginal tuck on a dog can help with stones?
Yeah, so for female dogs, what can happen is they get, like, some females, especially if they're spayed really young, and this is maybe one argument why we don't always spay every female young, their vaginal area just doesn't develop well, and there's more skin that kind of folds over top of it, and it creates a kind of a pocket, if you will, where they're prone to infection. So, yeah, we basically cut a little crescent of skin and move the edge of the vaginal area up, so it kind of lifts things, so we kind of create a get rid of that moist corner that this kind of all hides.
Better drainage.
Yeah. I have a question, teacher. Yeah. I have a question. Teacher, my hand's up. I have a question.
Okay, go ahead, Al.
Okay. Is this something they teach you in vet school, or is a lot of what you do sort of kind of making it up as you go along from what you know?
I don't make anything.
Well, no. I mean, with humans, you have these certain things, and there's certain treatments, but I'm not sure. Is this something you were taught in school?
It is an actual standard procedure.
Okay.
You know, I can't say I learned it in school, but it is definitely a kind of a procedure that most vets know about, know when to use it. The interesting thing is I just keep seeing tons of dogs with vaginal problems, and it really seems like a lot of folks don't know that, you know, got to look at the girl stuff back there and make sure you keep them trimmed, and hygiene is so important back there.
Yeah, okay. Well, good to know that.
So my doggy gynecology practice continues.
You know what? It's funny you should say that, because I was wondering the same thing.
Well.
You know, because there's so many, there has to be so many health issues, and you wonder. I mean, I know you spend a long time in veterinary school, but then you have to say, well, how many have you not come across that all of a sudden say, okay, this is something new.
The other reason is you mentioned the turtle where you had to kind of ad-lib and put wheels onto a turtle. Onto a shell. Yeah. And that's something I can't imagine you learned in school. What I'm thinking is there's a difference between a cook and a chef. A cook is somebody who you tell them to make eggs, they can go make eggs. A chef is somebody who understands the knowledge of what different flavors go together, and they ad lib in the kitchen and they make something that tastes good. So you understand what I'm saying. Are you a chef or a cook?
I'm definitely a chef. I'm not a good cook. But here's another example. Last week we had a baby chick with a bad leg, so I had to MacGyver a cast using a paperclip as
exactly.
a splint.
What about wheels on a turtle? I don't remember talking about this.
That was when we had a tortoise that had its leg injured and we had to amputate it. And then, you know, with only three legs, they kind of go and they hit the ground. So we have to provide that wheel as support and just to let them kind of move around.
I wonder how many kids in the house thought that was that toy, you know, car that you roll backwards to get some, you know, put it on the Hot Wheels track.
Hey, we did use Hot Wheels at one time.
Yes, you did.
We did.
Hey, Cindy.
Hello.
Welcome to Animal Radio. I've got the good doctor, Dr. Debbie, right here. What's up?
Hi.
Well, hello, Dr. Debbie. We listen to you every Saturday morning when we're traveling, so we appreciate the good advice.
Oh, well, thank you for tuning in.
I have a 3-year-old golden doodle. She has been being cared for when we're traveling, when hotels won't take her, in a kennel. It is a veterinary kennel. We did a Bordetella shot booster. We do them every 6 months at the beginning of June. And they said there was a new strain of Bordetella running around. So because the veterinary clinics or the CDC cannot keep up with it, they thought an additional booster would help her. And now she's
attempting
to blow it. So we did a booster about 3.5 weeks after she had the first one. And we brought her home, and now she's trying to clear her nose, constantly sneezing, and it feels like she's trying to blow her nose. And she's lethargic.
Is she? Okay. And this is, I'm sorry, how long after that vaccination was given?
It was about, I have it here, of course, it's in the pile of papers. It was about 3.5-4 weeks.
Okay. All right. And, you know, I guess the bottom line with Bordetella is that there's different types of vaccinations. So there's an intranasal form that's kind of like the flu mist vaccination. So like little kids get that nasally sprayed. And there's an injection form. And I'd have to say we do see some potential clinical signs after an intranasal Bordetella. Usually it's pretty mild and self-limiting, a little sneezing, coughing, reverse sneezing, that horrible like kind of sound.
Right.
So usually it's pretty short in its duration. Kind of depends. If I have a pet who's really sick, then I will definitely do some lab work on them, and we can do specific testing for different agents and whether or not it, you know, we can say it's from the vaccination or not. I have had the occasional pet have those kind of clinical signs after a nasal Bordetella vaccine, but I still believe in the product, and it can be very good for a pet that has a upcoming boarding visit, and it gives us kind of in a pinch in the quick time frame, it gives us some of the best protection on that short timeline. But that being said, you know, I want to make sure your baby's well, and if necessary, you know, I would certainly see if we need to get her treated or, you know, maybe at least on an antihistamine to help control some of those signs for her.
Antihistamine such as Benadryl?
Yeah, often Benadryl. There's some other ones that we'll prescribe as well, just to kind of help, you know, minimize those clinical signs of the sneezing, coughing, that type of thing.
Okay.
And, you know, if a dog does show a sensitivity with these kind of signs after a nasal Bordetella vaccination, then, you know, we might really look at giving the injectable form in the future just to kind of avoid that potential. And it sounds like you're a good parent and you're up to date on shots. So that might just be a good strategy for her in the future there.
So the injectables are a 6-month inoculation, or are they a year?
You know, there's a little bit of some controversy with that. And some of that we discuss on the lifestyle and the exposure for the pets. Here we typically, using either product, we'll do that on an every 6 month interval if we have a pet who's in a more of a high risk group. And that would be pets that are boarded, that go to the grooming parlor, go to pet shows, things like that. If it's only the occasional animal exposure or minimal, then usually we just stick with that once a year vaccination, whether we use the nasal or the injection form. But
well, I appreciate that my vet likes to be very safe, and so we do it every 6 months regardless. You just show up here and get your dog groomed, we're going to make you take the shot, so, or take the nasal. So we've been doing nasal, but we've never had the symptoms where she's trying to blow her nose. My husband has one more question about it, and he was wondering about exertion. I mean, she loves to swim, and we didn't want to, it's the time of year where we take her down to the lake and she just swims until her tail goes cold. And we've been trying to keep her away from that situation. But he doesn't know how much exertion, because she will play with the ball and swim until we have to go out and get her.
Okay. So this is unrelated to her kind of sneezing thing right now. You're just asking if that's too much for her to do that.
Right.
And, you know, there is a condition we call swimmer's tail, where basically a dog can sprain their tail, and after really intense swimming, retrieving activities, they'll actually have pain in the tail where they don't want to raise it. They mope around, and it can be really uncomfortable. You know, if we're in that category, then I'd say we need to temper things down. But if she seems to recover pretty well, we're watching the ambient temperature, and it's not too hot out for that level of activity, oh my gosh, my dogs will retrieve for an hour at a time, as long as the conditions are right. So if she's enjoying it and seeming to physically hold up to that and not having a sore tail afterwards, then I don't see a problem with that.
People say less is more. At Red Barn, we think less is better. It's what you won't find that sets our natural premium pet food apart. No byproducts, no corn or soy, no fillers. Just the natural ingredients your pets need to live the healthy life they deserve. Look at the label. We want you to. Red Barn Naturals Pet Food. Simply the best. Find it in your local pet specialty store. Red Barn canned food for cats and dogs is grain and gluten-free.
I have to get to sleep.
Tom had a stressful day, and now he can't shut down at bedtime.
Need sleep.
To fall asleep fast, millions of people turn to Unisom Sleep Gels. They're non-habit forming and quickly help you sleep soundly so you wake recharged. Tom? Unisom Sleep Gels. A stressful day deserves a restful night. Use as directed. Active ingredient diphenhydramine hydrochloride.
What makes a holiday card unforgettable? Personality. And no one makes it easier or more affordable to create a holiday card full of personality than Vistaprint. Right now, get 50% off all custom holiday cards. That means 30 cards start at just $13.99. With hundreds of stunning designs, your personality will shine through with every card you send. Just go to Vistaprint.com today and enter the promo code HOLIDAY to get 30 holiday cards starting at $13.99. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code HOLIDAY.
Are you putting your money into an IRA, pension, or 401k? Then I hope you're prepared to lose 30, 40, 50% or more of your retirement savings. Because it's not a question of if the market crashes again. It's a question of when. It's going to happen. Did you know there is a way you can protect and grow your wealth safely and predictably every single year? The people using this approach didn't lose a penny when the market crashed in 2000 or 2008, and they won't lose a penny in the next crash. In fact, their money will continue to grow safely year in and year out, even when stocks, real estate, and other investments tumble. A free report detailing this savings program is now available. This free report shows how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your retirement in the Wall Street casino. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement. It far outperforms any IRA or 401k. To get this free report, visit bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com. Bankonyourself.com.
Hey, everyone.
This is Life Tips with Geico.
Life Tip 1. You can use a razor to shave those little lint balls off your sweatshirt or jacket.
Speaking of jackets, try wearing yours backwards. You could use the hood as a convenient snack trough.
Life Tip 2. Switch to Geico and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. On top of that, the Geico Insurance Agency could help save you money on home and renter's insurance. Geico. Get savings into your life. Visit geico.com today.